I want real solutions, not just campaign promises.
There's so much media bias and misinformation. I can't keep things straight.
I don't know who to trust. What am I supposed to do? Take my neighbor's word for it?
Why is it always the other guy's fault? What about accountability?
I'm split on issues, stuck between parties. What do I do now?
Did you know independent voters are America's largest voting bloc?
Yeah, but they totally feel politically homeless. Like, the two-party system just ignores them.
Independent voters, you're overlooked no more. This is our time to shine and stand together. You're listening to Independent Times.
I'd like to have a beer with him. I'm voting for him.
I don't understand these people. He didn't even say anything, and they're eating it up.
Lois, undecided voters are the biggest idiots on the planet. Try giving short, simple answers.
Sir, your question, please?
Mrs. Griffin, what do you plan to do about crime in our city?
A lot. Because that's what Jesus wants. 9/11 was bad.
I agree with that.
It's not the best of times, nor the worst, but these are undoubtedly independent times. Welcome to Independent Times, the podcast for politically homeless independent voters navigating our polarized world. I'm your host, Lisa Singer, and I'm so grateful you could join us today. We just heard Brian Griffin's quip about independent voters being wishy-washy, but the reality is far from that stereotype. For the first time ever, 43% of Americans identify as independent, dwarfing the 27% for each of the Democrats and Republicans. Who are these voters? What drives them? And how are they reshaping our politics? Today, we'll unpack their power and purpose in a divided nation. Joining me are my co-hosts, award-winning journalist and host of Fox 24 News Now, Leila Gulen, and Emmy Award-winning news host and producer, Brian Gallo. Welcome.
I'm Leila Gulen, and I'm excited to be here with you, Lisa, to explore what it means to be America's largest and fastest growing voting bloc. You know, this is a conversation about power and how we use it.
And I'm Brian Gallo. I'm glad to join you, Lisa. When you look at the numbers, it's clear that the future of the country is independent.
Thank you both so much. Before we begin our discussion, let's take a quick look at the numbers. Here's a montage I put together of just how big the independent voter bloc has become.
There is a rising tide of independent voters sweeping the nation.
We often talk about how divided America is. We put a lot of focus on Republicans and Democrats. But if you look at the numbers, the largest group of voters isn't a member of either party.
But somewhere between the red and blue, there is the gray, unaffiliated voters, many disillusioned with the discord.
We are learning a record number of Americans are not siding with party lines. A new Gallup poll finds nearly half of all Americans see themselves as politically independent.
And what does this reflect? I think it reflects to a considerable degree people's unhappiness with the way our democracy operates.
Why are more voters identifying as independent than Republican or Democratic?
Neither party has presented a platform that is congruent with large numbers of people.
Greater political independence could mean voters are more likely to act as free agents when casting ballots in federal elections. The battle for these swing voters is likely to get more intense than ever going forward, just as the parties pull further apart.
Wow, that's amazing.
Is this new, what is going on with almost half the country right now, registering or identifying as independents?
Great question. Based on the polling data, only 20% of Americans identified as independents in 1950. That number grew to 33% by 1988. And today, Gallup shows independents make up a staggering 43% of registered voters. With Republicans and Democrats each hovering around 27% each, this shift signals a really profound and growing impact on our country's political landscape. Here's a montage of video clips I put together on what the data says.
They're not Republicans and they're not Democrats.
Why do we spend so much time talking about independents? That's simple. They matter.
How
hard, Republicans and Democrats know who they are voting for, of course, but what about that all-too-critical block of independent voters?
It is really all about turning out, but it's also about independent voters.
There is a new force in American politics. It's becoming known as the independent political movement. And while it is enormously powerful, it is marginalized and ignored.
There's a larger transformation in America underway. A culture change is what people really want. A postpartisan America is what people are increasingly asking for.
Talk about what's driving the exodus from either the Democratic or Republican parties, which, I mean, have been around since before the Civil War. So this is, you know, these are kind of tired brands or organizations. But why are people leaving in such numbers?
I think it's the nonsense that's going on in Washington, the dysfunction, the polarization, the influence of money in politics, the inability to balance the budget, the inability to get something reasonable done.
You read American history and at these pivotal moments of crisis, of challenge, of like, you know, the country is stuck. It's always a new independent coalition that comes together and unsticks it and moves the country forward.
So independents are saying they are frustrated with both the Republicans and Democrats and want to focus on the issues rather than being bound to the parties. So what are independent voters and what do they actually want?
Honestly, when you try to define independents using traditional political methods by looking at their demographics like race or income or education or gender, it doesn't really work very well. You'll find that independent voters are represented in every group across the country. But what truly does define them, it's not their demographics, it's their motivation. And they're making a very, very conscious choice to reject a political system that they see as broken. They're basically telling the two parties, we don't want your labels. We want to move past the division that has defined our politics for way too long. We want bipartisan solutions. We want civil discourse, and we're going to support candidates who are focused on the issues that we care about more than just political party wins. That's of no interest to them. And the result is that they've shown that they can truly swing an election one way. And if they don't like the way things are going in 2 years, they're going to swing it back in favor of the other party. But the bottom line is, the growing numbers of independent voters, now at 43%, really reflects a fundamental problem that neither the Republican nor the Democratic Party platform fully represents what a large portion of the country is looking for.
Okay, but misunderstood, sectarianism, overthrowing traditional categories, none of this sounds good or healthy.
The studies show that independents have a low trust in our government. Trust in government is down across the country, but it's particularly down among people who identify themselves as independents.
So you've laid out a really great history on independent voters. So how do we exactly define independent voters? Is there a short answer? If someone were to ask me, you know, what is an independent voter? How should I answer that?
That's a great question. And to answer that, here's a montage of video clips I put together from voters and experts to help us better understand who is an independent voter.
So they don't consider themselves Republican or Democrat, and their ranks are growing. But who are the independent voters?
You consider yourself a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent?
What is an independent voter? An independent voter is someone who does not align with any specific political party. They choose not to register as a member of the Democratic or Republican parties. Instead, they prefer to evaluate candidates and issues on their own.
But the new reality is, if you look at voter registration rolls, independent and third-party registration is on the rise.
This shift is mainly happening among younger generations. It shows us that people are tired of listening to those with the most power and the loudest mouth. Young people want real change, and we value our freedom.
Gen Z voters and their millennial counterparts distinctly are independent, and they're not joining parties. And that has serious repercussions when we look at our two-party system and how elections are run in the United States.
That's the future.
It is.
There are some people who don't believe that there are independent voters, and that independent voters are just the people who are not happy with the current party in power.
It's not just individuals who are disgruntled with what's going on. It's a movement that's been out there and been gathering steam for upwards of 20 years.
You use traditional political terms. Independents span the political spectrum. They're on the left. They're at the center. They're on the right. They're liberals. They're moderates. They're conservatives. They're libertarians. They're the full range of political categories. But the thing that binds these independents together, the reason that there is a movement in the making, is because independents, though you can describe them based on traditional political categories, want to overthrow the traditional political categories. They don't want to live in them, they don't want to live by them, and they don't want those categories to determine how we vote, how we think about issues, how we talk to one another as Americans, how we innovate and think about alternatives for public policy.
Independents who were Obama supporters, right, 8 years ago, 4 years ago, moved to Trump this year. Well, what is that about? Is that an ideological shift? No, I don't think it is. I think it's part of a process of independents trying to break open the silos, trying to break with traditional ideology, traditional party affiliation, in a sense, trying to break with the horizontal paradigm altogether, because part of what we're seeing is that independents, like many Americans, feel that the real divide in this country is actually not between Democrats and Republicans, but it's between the American people and the elite.
People born in 97 to 2012, which I'm really talking about the people closer to 97 to like within a few years of my age range, where we've only really known political divisiveness. We've only known a reality where like there are relatives that you can't invite to Thanksgiving because somebody's mad at somebody else over politics, even though they've been just fine for decades before that. And so I think growing up with that, looking at that model and looking at, okay, there are these two party systems, it's literally like shattering the fabric of my school and people are getting canceled, or it's shattering the fabric of my family and maybe my parents are having tension because they like the opposite political party. Like,
I'm an independent now because I don't support the parties. I think something is amiss.
I've always considered myself to be an independent. I voted once for Carter, once for Clinton, once for Obama, once for Biden, once for Bush, once for Bush. But I didn't really vote for any of them. I voted against their opponent.
Yeah, Anthony, I have one more question, and that is, how do you define yourself politically? If somebody asks you that, what words do you use?
I really don't even know. I always say that I have no idea what Republican is or Democrat, because they all seem to do the same things. And I would be independent because how I feel different from everyone else, and that we don't agree.
But the bottom line is that independents are unpredictable in their voting behavior. I'll just give you a few examples. In 2008, they backed President Obama by 8 points. Then they backed Trump by 4 points in 2016. Then in 2020, they backed Biden by 13 points. But in 2024, they wound up being the largest group to split their tickets and vote for one party for the White House and another party for Senate or Congress. And I'm sure you saw the exit polls, and this was talked about a lot on TV, that New Yorkers said that they voted for AOC as their House representative, but then they voted for Trump as president.
To show just how often independents split their tickets, here's a montage of video clips I put together from the latest election data.
Congress remains divided. Voters appear to shun party loyalty in several states, giving way to a rise in split ticket voting.
Split ticket voters.
Split ticket voting.
Split ticket voting.
Over the past decades, as the country has become more politically polarized, I think there's an assumption that people are just definitely Democrats or definitely Republicans and go into the voting booth and just pull the R or the D lever, depending on how they sort of previously associated. But that is not the case.
Because voters in key battleground states are deciding to split the ticket. That means that they're voting for a presidential candidate of one party and a senatorial candidate of another.
This kind of ticket splitting actually goes back decades here in North Carolina, with a particular preference for putting a Republican in the White House and a Democrat in the governor's mansion.
Split ticket voting from independents in battleground states helped put Donald Trump back in the White House.
But the big story here is that, as you said, Republicans vote straight ticket Republicans, Democrats straight ticket Democrats. It were the independents that were twice as likely to split their tickets.
Split ticket voters, those are people who vote for candidates from different parties, are increasingly rare in modern American politics.
Split ticket voting has decreased as voters have become more partisan and as the parties have become more divided.
That around 35 to 40,000 Wisconsinites are split ticket voters. But with the state's razor thin margins, they could tip the scale for a number of candidates.
Of all the confounding results in this past election, perhaps the strangest phenomenon was the surprising number of people who voted for Democrats down ballot and then checked off Donald Trump for president. That was the case in New York's 14th district. A number of voters cast their ballot for both Trump and one of the House's most progressive Democrats, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, better known as AOC.
As a matter of fact, let's do this right now. If you voted for Donald Trump and me, or if you voted for Donald Trump and voted Democratic down ballot, I would really love to hear from you. This is not a place of judgment. I'm not going to, like, put your stuff on blast or anything like that or dunk on it. That's, like, genuinely not the intent here. I actually want to learn from you. I want to hear what you were thinking.
I voted for Josh Stein.
Okay. Why did you split your ticket there?
Because my son-in-law told me he was a moderate.
I'm a split-ticket voter because I think that there is, the political divide is too far. So I guess the concept would be to kind of make a blended purple.
Splitting his ticket between Democrat Kamala Harris for president and for Senate, the first Republican ever to win his vote. Ply.
I really do think we're at our best when the center-left and the center-right are pulling on each other a little bit and we find a workable solution in the middle.
But I voted Republican down ticket. I actually voted for Kamala. If Kamala wins, I'm cool with that. But I would like her to be checked in the Congress.
How do independent voters know who to vote for rather than just finding the lesser of the evils?
That's why we're here. That's why the three of us are here, to help independent voters sort through the issues they care about most, to break down and debate the headlines from as many angles and perspectives and with as much context as we possibly can. We want to make sure that independent voters feel empowered to make the best decisions, past the headlines and fill in the gaps, and then they can make the best decisions for themselves, for their family, for their friends, for their communities when they go to the voting booth.
Okay, Lisa, with all due respect, you know I love you, but you make it sound so simple, right? We know that with independents getting locked out of 22 state primaries for president, which means 23 million independents can't vote in the primaries and then probably check out from politics altogether. I mean, I would too. You don't want me? Well, then, I mean, bye, right?
Yeah. Well, it's no wonder over 80 million Americans did not show up to vote in 2024. You know, voting is a lot harder in this country than people think.
It definitely is hard to vote in America. And that's why we're here. We're going to help give everyone the information and the tools they need to make following the news and voting easier. That's our goal. And at the end of each show, we're going to pick our independent hero of the week and profile some great overlooked American people and stories. We're going to try to highlight as many hero stories as we can. And we always want to end on a hopeful note. There's a lot of bad news, but one of the things I absolutely love about living in America is that for everything bad going on, for every issue and problem and pain that there is, there's always someone in America who's working to solve it, to make it better. And that, you know, that gives me a lot of hope and a lot of strength.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we still have a lot to talk about when it comes to independent voters, who they are, what they want from their elected representatives. And we're going to tackle the news from their perspective, one issue at a time every week. But right now, we can find comfort in the fact that independent voters have a real opportunity to bring this country together and help it heal. Our independent hero of the week, Jackie Salad, has explained this better than anyone. As the author of Independence Rising, here's what she had to say about the power of independence to drive change.
Independents play this role of breaking down barriers
at the grassroots level, at the family level, at the community level, that independents, for example, we're talking about very simple things here, Ted, mm-hmm. independents talk to Democrats and Republicans and have them as friends. That often it's the case that Democrats just have friends who are Democrats and Republicans just who are Republicans. But the social networking capacity that independents have, I think, has a huge cultural future in terms of dealing with the divide.
What a fantastic discussion today. Thank you, Brian and Layla. And thank you to our listeners for joining our community at Independent Times, where politically homeless voters like you find clarity in a polarized world. You're not alone in this journey. Next time, we'll explore independent politicians, from trailblazers like Ross Perot and Andrew Yang to the independents running in the upcoming New York mayoral race. You won't want to miss it. Until then, please take a moment to follow, like, subscribe, share, and keep charting your own path.